This is Cruise Radio.
In these winter months, consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
How's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thanks for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Happy to have you here. A review of Carnival Horizon this week. It's been a really crazy week. I'll tell you why. So Sunday, I flew down to Lauderdale to do two different ship things and then flew back home that night. Tuesday, flew down to Miami for Sea Trade Global, was there for, I think, like 18 hours. So here we are doing the big broadcast here. I was going to do the show live from the trade show floor, but there were 11,000 people there this year, and it was just like you couldn't find any place quiet. So I decided to do it here instead. Before we get to our first interview, Cruise Radio News. It's our daily quick hits of the news. You can find that where you listen to your favorite podcast. Just type in Cruise Radio News. And the Cruise Radio YouTube channel just uploaded a video tour of Carnival Conquest that can be found on the YouTube channel. All right, so the first event of the week was down in Fort Lauderdale. I flew down there on a Sunday morning, went right to Holland America's new Stottendam. That's their new cruise ship that came out in 2018. A really nice mid-size ship, too. It's like 99,500 tons, I believe. So the president of Holland America, Orlando Ashford, was there, and they named their next new ship that's coming out May 2021, and also talked about some of their entertainment they're doing. Here's my interview with Orlando Ashford. So how is Holland America elevating the entertainment experience?
Yeah, so Music Walk is the anchor of what we're trying to do from an entertainer's perspective. So we describe ourselves as the music capital of the world. We used to say the music capital at sea, but we really think that what we offer from a live music perspective is literally some of the best in the world. So if you go down the list, B.B. King's Blues Club, Lincoln Center Stage, Billboard Onboard, the new Rolling Stone Rock Room, Postmodern Jukebox, the things that we're doing from a live music perspective, because these are not just house bands where they change the T-shirt each hour. These are people that are from those venues, vetted by and trained by those venues, truly authentic music in each of those genres, and they play off of each other. And so in the evening, to watch that, what I call the heartbeat of the ship, kind of pulse, as people go from Rolling Stone to Billboard to B.B. King's and back, it's been tremendous. And so Holland America Line, if you go back maybe 5, 6, 7 years, wonderful brand, but a brand that was a little bit more subdued and quiet. I think we've really elevated the energy with what we're doing with Music Walk.
Yeah, the first time I sailed Holland America was like back in 2010 on Eurodam, and like at 10 o'clock, you were rolling the carpets up on this ship. But now, like I sailed this ship, the new Stottendam, 2 months ago in Rolling Stone's Rock Room, which is an awesome venue, by the way. It was going well after midnight.
Yeah, you know, it's changed the dynamic. And so part of our charge is just getting that message out. So what I have, for the person that is a modern explorer that loves food and loves live music, this is the cruise line for them, because we do destinations in a really big way, always have, and really try to create that relationship between the destination and the guest. We've always done really good food, but Rudy and the Culinary Council have really elevated our food experience. And so whether it's Rudy Seldemare or some of the other wonderful venues, burgers up to fine dining, and then what we've done with live music is second to none.
Your burgers are number two on the list. Guy's Burger joined on Carnival number one. You guys number two.
And I'm in an argument with Guy. I don't buy that. I think Guy's got, you know, he's a little more famous. But in terms of I've had both. The Guy's, it's a great burger, but I want to have a burger contest. I think Dive In beats it. I really do. But Guy and I've been going back and forth about this, but I think we'll win.
Rolling Stones Rock Room, such a popular venue, like we were just saying. Any plans of it going fleet wide?
Yeah, our issue is just trying to figure out how to fit it in. Mm-hmm. It's space. So clearly these are our newer, bigger ships, and so we have the room to put it in. But it's turning out to be quite popular, so we're going to figure out how we can extend it further into the fleet. So that's our ambition. We just have to figure out how to do it, because the smaller ships don't have the same space footprint that you have on the Pinnacle class. So we'll figure it out.
Holland America has a new ship coming out in May of 2021. What can you tell us about it?
Well, what I can tell you is the new name. So we just named the ship. She's going to be called the Rheindam. You know, we've really been working on that balance between our history, 146 years, and a lot of these changes that we're making to position us for the future. We've had discussion about the name and should we change our naming convention, but Dam is a part of our naming convention and something that's historic and traditional, and we decided to go back and tap into a traditional name. And so this will be the we've had three Rheindams, and so we're about to have another one. We're really excited to add her to the fleet.
All right, now we'll fast forward to Tuesday at SeaTrade Global, where I had a chance to catch up with Carnival Cruise Line's brand ambassador, John Heald, about Carnival's two announcements. The first announcement was they are teaming up with the game show, rather, Family Feud. Here's what John had to say.
I think on the back of how successful Hasbro the game show has been, to see the fact that we've got Family Feud on the ships, we carry more families than any other cruise line in the world, and I can just picture on the Mardi Gras, Mr. and Mrs. Smith and the kids from Boise, Idaho, playing Mr. and Mrs. Parker and the kids from Chicago. I think it's going to be so much fun, and it is going to be exactly like the TV show.
There's going to be two different versions, I understand.
That's right. We'll do a family feud and an adult Family Feud a little bit later in the evening.
Okay. All right, so Family Feud is coming to Carnival Mardi Gras, and then a new premium suite level called the Excel Suites were announced just a couple of moments later.
For those people who are fortunate enough to buy a suite, when they are going to buy one of these suites, whether it's the presidential one, is one of the aft, whether it's these corner suites, I mean, these are incredible, and some with the whirlpool, and some with all the extended furniture on the balconies, and that whole list of amenities. Excellent stuff.
Sherry Laskin from CruiseMaven.com is here to help unpack the news. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Doug.
What a crazy week, huh?
It's been busy in Miami, that's for sure.
So we just heard John talk about the Family Feud partnership. Elaborate on that.
Sure, I'll sort of try to explain this. So the longtime TV show that everyone knows and loves, Family Feud, is going to debut aboard the new Carnival Mardi Gras and as part of the entertainment lineup. On the ship, it's going to be called Family Feud Live, and it will feature the same format and even the same set, so it looks like the TV show. And just like on TV, there's going to be 2 5-person teams, and they're going to be competing to answer the same survey questions. The ship's cruise director will be the host for several versions of the show, and that's going to include what you would expect, the family-friendly versions, and as well, they're going to have a late-night adult show.
And also announced, Carnival is rolling out these new top-notch Excel suites.
Yeah, they're introducing the Excel suites on the Mardi Gras, and I'll try to explain this as best as I can. There are going to be 4 categories of 32 premium-level Excel suites, and each suite is going to have a variety of amenities. So in total, there will be 2 presidential suites, and that will include access to the thermal suite and the Havana pool area. There's going to be 12 Excel aft suites, and they're going to overlook Summer Landing, that outdoor area below. There's going to be 12 Excel corner suites and 6 suites on decks 10, 11, and 12 that will all have sleeping, dining, and relaxing areas. And all suites on Mardi Gras will include priority boarding and debarkation, priority main dining room seating, plush bathrobes, and bottled water upon arrival. But if you're in the 32 Excel suites, you'll also have unlimited access to what's being called Loft 19. And this, think of it as, well, it's a new secluded private outdoor retreat area, and it will have its own bar and cabanas, and you can actually rent a little covered cabana area if you want to do that. And again, if you're in one of the 32 Carnival Excel suites, you'll have a dedicated concierge phone line, guaranteed specialty dining times, bottomless bubbles, room service, and complimentary laundry, and a handful more of amenities that other people won't get.
So Excel suites. Do you think Carnival is going like the Cunard route with the class system, or even NCL's The Haven or Yacht Club on MSC?
I wouldn't particularly say that, mainly because they don't have their own dining area.
Okay. And fair enough.
Yeah, and they don't have priority seating from what I understand. They don't get priority seating in the show lounge either for the big shows. But, maybe that will be introduced later on.
All right, moving on. There were a group of people who got stuck in an elevator on a Carnival cruise ship, and we'll pick it up from here.
Yeah, and I was thinking about going on this ship pretty soon too, but as the story goes, an elevator aboard the Carnival Inspiration became stuck between floors for about 30 to 40 minutes, and there were 6 people trapped inside. And as a result of what Carnival said was damage to the elevator doors and the cables, this group of men who are on their annual cruise with Carnival have now been banned from Carnival for life. They were put off the ship at the next port, and they are being held financially responsible for the damages. But Carnival said, you know, there are two sides to every story. The men claim faulty equipment and being mocked by the crew outside their partially open door, while Carnival says the men caused the incident to happen in the first place.
So one of the people who were stuck inside the elevator actually sent me an email on Sunday morning, and they said, "This is my immediate response to Carnival Cruise Line. Carnival is trying to turn this into a blame game rather than looking at the actions of their crew members and staff. They should be reprimanding their employees for their unprofessional behavior and redefining rescue procedures." Now, I'm not going to comment on that because I wasn't there. I have no clue what happened. There's Carnival's story, there's their story, and then there's the truth, right?
That's always the way it is.
All right, and last but not least here, this last story, Royal Caribbean is doing this major refurbishment on 10 of their cruise ships. They're calling it Royal Amplified, and they're installing this SkyPad feature, which we've talked about in the past on the show. Incident happened on SkyPad back in February. Not pretty. Take it from there.
Sure, right, and I will. A man is suing Royal Caribbean for $10 million. After a serious accident happened on the SkyPad aboard Mariner of the Seas after this Royal Amplified refurbishment. And for those who may not know, the SkyPad, imagine a blend of a trampoline and a bungee cord. So you're jumping, but yet there's a cord holding you in place. So anyway, this 25-year-old man was in the middle of a big jump when the harness snapped in midair and he came crashing down about 20 feet. According to the report, not only was his pelvis shattered in several places, but his shoulder was also dislocated. His injuries were so bad, the Mariner of the Seas had to turn back to Miami, where the man was transported to the hospital, and he has since had to undergo several surgeries to repair his shattered pelvis. And because of this, Royal Caribbean has shut down the SkyPad on both the Mariner of the Seas and the Independence of the Seas until further notice. It's just closed down.
I was digging into this story to make sure it wasn't a sensational piece, and this kid got messed up.
Yeah. And his walking, I guess he's in a wheelchair a lot of the time, too. Yeah, so this is really a sad story.
All right. It's time for a listener question. This week is from Shane. If you have a listener question, drop me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net, doug@cruiseradio.net. I've booked my next two cruises on my own, and I've never used a travel agent because I've assumed the agent needs to be paid for their services. How does a travel agent make money if there are no additional costs to the client to use their services? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Hi, Shane. Well, here's sort of the Cliff Notes version of how it works. So when you use a travel agent, you pay nothing additional. The cruise line has already negotiated commission rates for the travel agencies, and the travel agencies have their split with the agent. So when you book a cruise through a travel agent, the agency and the agent receive a commission, and it's based on the cost of the base cruise fare, not the taxes and not the port charges or what they call miscellaneous fees. So if you book directly with the cruise line, you're not paying a discounted amount as though the percentage that would have been paid to the agency was then deducted from what they're quoting you as your cruise fare. So it's already included in the cruise line's budget, basically, what they're going to be dishing out to the travel agencies. So in fact, travel agencies and their agents, they have access to promotions. They have access to group rate pricing and added amenities that someone booking directly with the cruise line will either not know about or receive because the cruise lines, you know, they won't tell you that if you were to book with XYZ agency, you're not only going to get this price, but they're going to also give you a bottle of wine. You might get a specialty dining offer, maybe money to spend on a shore excursion. So basically, the bottom line is you're not saving any money by booking direct. And in fact, you may be losing out because you won't have access to some of the offers that travel agencies have negotiated with the cruise lines. Well, I hope that makes sense, how I just explained it.
Yeah, it was pretty clear. And Shane, if you have any other questions, just drop me a line, doug@cruiseradio.net. We've been talking with Sherry Laskin from cruisemaven.com. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Doug.
If you have an Amazon Alexa-enabled device, ask her to enable the Cruise Radio News skill so you can get daily updates anytime, straight from Cruise Radio.
When is your next cruise? Where are you going? And what are you going to do once you get there? market-leading specialist CruisingExcursions.com offers savings up to 60% off shore excursions versus cruise line prices. Whether it's private, shared, scenic, historic, or family tours, CruisingExcursions.com has up to 12,000 excursions in over 700 ports worldwide, like Rome, Vatican City, St. Petersburg, Sydney, and Jamaica, just to name a few. You can even bundle your excursions for more savings. Make your next vacation affordable and unforgettable by visiting CruisingExcursions.com.
We know you can't go on every single cruise, so we do it for you. Find over 200 ship reviews and money-saving tips at cruiseradio.net or search Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio.
Kevin just returned from an eight-night Southern Caribbean cruise aboard Carnival Horizon out of Port Miami, and he joins us on the line. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing pretty good. And yourself, Doug?
Good, bud. I may know the answer to this first question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What made you want to take this eight-night cruise on Carnival Horizon? Because I know you're up there in the Northwest.
We definitely were looking for just a nice spring break getaway to definitely escape that cold. And the itinerary itself was very attractive. Plus, I mean, obviously being on Carnival's brand new ship that's about to celebrate its 1 year birthday, per se, was a great opportunity for us.
So you were in the Northwest. You had to come down to the Southeast. Any pre-cruise time in Miami?
Not too terribly much, but we definitely, take the whole day to fly from Washington State down to Florida. And so we did fly down. The cruise left on a Saturday, and so we flew down on Friday, which we were very happy we did, because we did encounter some flight issues where we were hoping to get in a little bit earlier in the day into Miami, and we didn't get in until about midnight. Okay. So we were really happy. At least we got to fly in the day before, and then we just stayed at a hotel right there by the port, the Intercontinental Hotel, and it was really nice and convenient to get to the port the next day.
Dude, how nice is that hotel? I stayed there last month, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, we unfortunately didn't get to the hotel until pretty late, but I mean, it was, when we woke up the next morning, they put us in a room that overlooked the bay area right there. And we had an amazing view to wake up to and get excited, because you could see the cruise ships pretty much right there and ready to hop on board.
Yeah, totally. So you make your way to Port Miami. How was embarkation?
Embarkation was pretty good. So we had the 12:30 to 1 o'clock arrival appointment with Carnival. We wanted to get on board really, as quickly as possible to start enjoying our vacation. So we did arrive a little bit early. Which I've heard Carnival kind of hit or miss as far as whether they are going to enforce that time frame or not. But we had no problem getting on board the ship, starting about 12 o'clock. And we breezed right through everything from, curb to ship, maybe 10 minutes at most.
Wow.
But really not too terribly bad.
With Carnival at Port Miami, can you check in with your phone, or did you print a boarding pass out and show that to the agent?
We all print out our boarding passes, so I'm not sure if they allow the phone or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if they would allow it. So, but we usually print out our stuff ahead of time.
Yeah, it seems like Miami's getting pretty techie down there with all their iPads they're walking around with and printing you out things as you're walking by them.
This was actually the first time we experienced where they just lifted our photo, I guess, off of the passport. So they never actually had to take a physical photo of us there in the check-in line, which was nice. It helped breeze through, take a few seconds off, obviously, the process, but it was really quick.
Yeah, because the first time they did that to me, I was like, whoa, you don't need my passport? They're like, no. I'm like, okay. So you make your way on board Carnival Horizon. What were your first impressions?
It's a really amazing ship. I mean, definitely you can tell it's very, very, very new. You board there onto deck 3, right into the lobby atrium area. It's a little bit different, to most other Carnival ships, where the atrium is only about 3 stories tall or so, but very cool with all the artwork and the lighting that they have got going on there.
One of the things I noticed on Carnival Vista and Horizon is, that LED dreamscape. It's a focal point of the atrium, and people were taking photos right when they walked on the ship. Did you notice that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely gravitate to it throughout the entire voyage, too, and just from the entertainment and just kind of staring at the LED screens and everything. I mean, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, another noticeable thing on Horizon and Vista as well is there's no glass elevators in the atrium, just a 3-story atrium compared to the older ships with the, the multi-story atrium. What's the first thing you did when you got on board the ship?
So the first thing we did is we did have the, faster the fun. So we went straight to our stateroom just to kind of drop our our carry-on bags and kind of just breathe for a second. But then after that, we headed off over to the barbecue place on board. Since we know the Lido buffet is usually very crowded, especially on embarkation day. So we went over there and it was definitely pretty quiet and very, very good food. I'm originally from Texas and, you know, no barbecue pretty well. And, you know, Carnival with the Pig and Anchor barbecue place really does a great job.
Yeah, embarkation day is definitely the day to go too, because it gets kind of cranked up the rest of the days of the cruise.
It does. You could easily, there was really no line at all. So you could go up for seconds, thirds, fourths, however, you know, to your heart content, you know, and really have no wait at all, which is really nice, because I have been on, we were on the Magic last year and did the same thing, but then wanted to go back later in the cruise, and the line was probably 30 minutes, it seemed like, you know, and I would imagine Horizon probably would have been the same way.
Yeah, when I was on, on Breeze in November, people were tailgating out there at like 10 o'clock, 10:15, waiting for it to open at 11:30, like trying to scout their spot in line. I'm like, wow, you must be some hardcore barbecue fans, because there are like a dozen other food options open right now. It's kind of funny how people go nuts over that barbecue.
It's one thing about the Horizon. I mean, there's so much food available. I mean, so many different options, and it can be overwhelming at times, to be honest with you. I mean, just because like you want to try everything, but you only can. You can only try so much.
So you make your way to your stateroom, or you did when you first boarded, then you go back to your stateroom. What kind of stateroom did you book, and what did you think of it?
So we splurged again and got one of the Cloud9 Spa Suites. We did that back actually on the Magic last year and kind of fell in love with it. And I think you even asked the question when we were talking about a while back of, you know, once you go to a suite, can you go back to a balcony room? And it's tough. I mean, we did that on a different cruise and it was fine, but, you know, a good opportunity opened up on this voyage to have one up on deck 11. And we really enjoyed it. And the rooms on Horizon, especially the suite, was great. I mean, one thing I noticed in particular was how large the TVs are in the room. I mean, you don't spend much time, obviously, watching TV on a cruise, but I mean, I haven't seen TVs that large in a room on a cruise ship before.
Now, the Cloud9 Spa staterooms, you have the access to the thermal suite, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Did you spend much time up there?
We went there a couple times. The first time we went up there on one of the sea days, it was super, super crowded, you know, and so it wasn't as enjoyable. But we did venture over there during another day, kind of later in the evening, and it was pretty quiet, and we definitely enjoyed our time there.
Yeah, it's nice there. As far as space for your 8-night cruise, did you find plenty of space in your cabin?
We did. I think the style, I mean, they did have like some of a pseudo walk-in closet area in these rooms. Since, you know, the suites are a little bit larger than the regular balcony ones, but it was still plenty of space for both my wife and I for an 8-night cruise.
Let's talk about dining on this 8-night sailing, and we'll start in the main dining room. What time dining did you have, and how was your experience?
We had the early dining, so at 6 p.m. in the Reflections dining room. So it's not the main dining room, you could say, but kind of one of the other smaller dining rooms that's more midship. It was good service. We had a good time, you know, and easy to get to and from.
Let's go to the Lido Deck Marketplace next, the buffet area on Carnival Horizon. How was that?
The selections were usually pretty good. We definitely tried them a couple times. It did seem somewhat crowded. Obviously, it's a spring break voyage, so it's definitely, you know, very probably sold out ship for sure. So it's sometimes hard to find tables and stuff to actually sit down and eat your food. But was, you know, obviously the selections was great. You know, they started rolling out the new dessert menu, for instance, on Carnival this year, and some really good selections there.
Please tell me you had a burger or two from Guy's.
Definitely. It's always a must. We had a couple and they were always really, really good.
What specialty restaurants did you do?
We did go to Gigi's Asian restaurant. It's in the back of the ship, kind of near the aft on deck 11. It's tucked away. It was really good food. Only cost it when we went for about $15 per person, and it gave you a 3-course meal. And they really are big about sharing. So it was my wife and I eating on this meal. And so we got to get, you know, two entrees, two appetizers, two desserts, and, you know, it's kind of served two shares. So you had plenty of food and plenty to try different things.
Did you by chance go to either the Captain's Pasta Bar or the Mongolian Walk during the lunchtime hours?
We didn't make it to the pasta bar, but we did go to the Mongolian Walk. And the Mongolian Walk on the horizon is in the same place as Gigi's. Mm-hmm. So it's Mongolian Walk by day and Gigi's by night. Even though it's in the same place, Mongolian Walk is still complimentary, like you said, and was pretty good. I mean, the service was probably a little slower than I expected. I haven't been to the Mongolian Walk before on any of the other carnival ships I've been on, surprisingly enough, but it was still really good, and we had a great time.
What did you think of the entertainment on this cruise?
Entertainment was great. I mean, they had several production shows throughout the sailing. It seemed like they might have been in transition because they talked about on, I think it was two of the production shows, that was going to be the last time that those groups performed on the horizon, that their contracts were ending. So I'm not sure if we had more production shows just due to the overlap or not. But they were pretty good. I mean, the two that come to mind is, I think it was called Soulbound, which was kind of, the way they kind of set the stage was, it was kind of like a spooky intro, and so forth. But all in all, it was like soul music. So it's kind of interesting how they kind of started this production to what the actual production was. And then, I can't remember what the other one was that we did during this. Oh, it was the Cuban one. Mm-hmm. They just started. I think it was actually their first performance of this one, is what they were saying. And it was like a Cuban dance production. That was really good. It was all the dancers and the musicians from the Havana Lounge basically had their own show.
Was Spellbound, was that the one that was kind of like New Orleans type setting, like the voodoo and all that?
Kind of. It was more singing more than anything. It was basically just a whole bunch of soul and R&B type performances.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a, like I said, a kind of a spooky intro, but then it just didn't went into all the singing and dancing by the various performers.
Did you check out any comedy shows?
We did. So being an 8-night cruise, they had basically two sets of comedians, two for the first half. And then when we reached Carousel, they went off, and then we got two more for the second half of the cruise. The one thing I would recommend, actually really any of the production shows or comedy shows, is that seating can be very limited, And so for comedy, as an example, is in the Limelight Theater, which is kind of deck five mid as well. And if you weren't there in line half an hour before the show, you may not get a seat. Mm-hmm. It was so popular on our cruise in particular. They actually started the shows early several times throughout the cruise because they had already reached capacity and they really couldn't fit any more people. So they figured they might as well start the show a little bit early. They did, however, have a couple comedy shows move over into the main theater, to the Liquid Lounge, which is the main theater on the ship, to accommodate more people.
What are they doing when the comedy club gets to capacity? Are they shutting the door or are they letting you pile in and just like standing room only type thing?
They do shut the door, but there is some standing. So my wife and I definitely had to stand a couple times during our shows. So I'm assuming there's someone there, or they're doing a rough estimate of the capacity. Obviously every room has a certain number of people that's allowed, and so they would shut the doors at that point whenever they reach capacity. And that's when I think the comedy manager came on stage and said, "Hey, we're at capacity, so we shut the doors. We're going to start the show early."
Who was your cruise director?
We had Schwartz, and he was really entertaining. Always there, and always keeping the party going.
Carnival has so many theme parties these days. Like the Hot White Party? Did you do that at all?
They definitely have a lot of them throughout. We did attend a few of them, and they're scattered throughout the ship. I mean, there's quite a few that are centered around the atrium lobby area, take advantage of that three deck tier right there. And they'd have different trivias there, different parties, different, sing-alongs, things like that, as well as different parties out on the Lido deck at night in particular as well.
Let's talk about the sea days. How were the sea days as far as crowds and congestion?
The sea days were pretty good. I think the only areas that were, you could see definitely the crowds were the typical spots, such as the Lido deck right around the pool area, as well as the buffet area. Anywhere else on the ship was usually pretty good. And that was on sea days or just non-sea days as well. I mean, it's amazing how big that ship is, and you could be in many parts of the ship and really feel like it's pretty, pretty quiet too. So that was really nice.
Horizon, like Vista, has that unique casino layout where it's on deck four, so you don't have to walk through it to go to, like, along the promenade. Did you find that smoke was an issue anywhere around the ship outside of the casino?
The only other area that we saw the smoke in the casino was pretty bad if you had to walk through it. We were complaining a little bit ourselves amongst our group, and then also we always heard a lot of people talking about as well that the smoke in the casino was pretty intense. The only other area that we found it to be kind of smoky was probably on deck 11. I think there's a little smoking area that's kind of right that overlooks the main pool area. That area was a little smoky at times, especially if you're trying to get from, say, the front of the ship to the back of the ship, where you kind of had to pass through that area. Mm-hmm. But besides that, those two areas, it wasn't bad at all.
I guess you would kind of have to walk through the casino on this ship if you wanted to go from, like, say, the theater back to the comedy club or the sports bar, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they had a deck on the outside.
Yeah, they don't really think they do. Or if they do, it's like a crew deck probably.
Yeah, it might be, but yeah, I felt like we had to kind of walk through through the casino. And so we would try and find ways. I mean, we'd even go up a few decks and maybe walk through some cabin quarters, which I know a lot of people probably don't like, but you know, just to try and avoid some of the smoke if we had to.
Yeah, that's what I had to do on Carnival Breeze. The smoking was kind of bad in there. I was either going up to deck 6 and walking the passenger halls or going down and walking on deck 4, like through a dining room, I think, because it was just like kind of disgusting on that ship too. So let's talk about the ports of call you went to, and what I'll get you to do, Kevin, is just give me the port you went to, give me a highlight, then move on to the next one.
Yeah, no problem. So the first port we made it to was Grand Turk. So with this itinerary, we docked around 7:30, and we left around 1:30 or 2. So you didn't have much time in Grand Turk, but we did an excursion that was a reef, rays, and beach adventure. Mm-hmm. Which was pretty cool. I mean, they take you to do some snorkeling. That part was a little crowded, I guess you could say, you know, as far as a lot more snorkelers than we'd hoped. So it wasn't as enjoyable. But then they take you to another, you know, spot where they let you actually hold a stingray, which was really cool. Never got to do that before. And they're more than happy, of course, to take your picture and sell it to you later on. But then the last part of that was we went to the beach that's right there by the cruise ship. You know, that's one nice thing about Grand Turk is there is a really nice beach that is very, very short walk from the cruise ship where it docks in Grand Turk. The next stop that we had was La Romana in the Dominican Republic. We went ziplining, and that was really, really nice. You know, there was like 7 lines of ziplining, and we had a great time there. And then there's a nice little flea market that kind of opens up right along the terminal area as the day goes on. And so, you know, some pretty good shopping to do in that area as well. The next stop that we had was in Carousel. We did a turtle snorkel where they take you to actually 2 different beaches. It's a turtle and beach hop snorkel adventure. So the first stop you go to is an area where there's a lot of sea turtles swimming around, and they don't really want you to touch the sea turtles, but they're close enough where you really can touch them in the water and while you're snorkeling. And then they take you to another beach in the area where you can choose a snorkel if you want, or you had about an hour and a half roughly of beach time before they return you back to the port. The nice thing about Carousel, at least in this itinerary, was so we didn't dock until about 1:30 or so in the afternoon, but then we stayed until about 10:30 at night. So we actually had dinner off the ship that night, just in the, there's a lot of restaurants and so forth that are pretty close to the port within walking distance and very reasonably priced. I forget the name of the restaurant we went to, but it was really cool. It was a, you know, couple story building. And so we were, I think, on the 4th floor and had a nice overlook of the water and at nighttime. And you could see, you know, the downtown Carousel area, as well as looking back towards the cruise ship too. And that was a really nice dinner and view and vantage point as well.
Was that, and I'm sure it might not be because there are so many restaurants there, but I did the same thing like you're explaining. Was that kind of like a Mexican / steakhouse type place?
If I remember, yes. They did have a lot of different options, but yeah, they had some Mexican food, but they also had, it was actually a whole conglomerate of food, to be honest. It was Mexican, steak, fish, and even some like Lebanese type food as well, with some shawarmas.
Was it right there in the water?
A pretty good eclectic menu. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I wonder if it's the same place. It sounds just like when you were describing it, I'm like, I think I went there a couple of years ago. Very nice. So that was your last port of call, Curacao. Actually, you went to Aruba, right?
Yep, Aruba was our last one. And so we did the Kanuku bus where they basically take you. It's an open-air bus that looks pretty crazy. And they have Moroccos and rock, you know, that you can shake and really great party atmosphere. And they take you to a couple of the main highlights in Aruba with the lighthouse and then one of the churches there. And then you have and it ends with a couple hours at one of the beaches. And we end up at Palm Beach, which was really, really a nice beach there. While we were there, we actually rode this ride. It wasn't included in the tour, but you had enough time to. They have a lot of water activities that you can purchase at this beach. We rode this big tube called Big Mabel. Which is really awesome, where it's a, you know, basically a flat tube that up to four people can ride on this tube, and they drag you around the area on this high speed boat. It's a pretty adventurous ride. We had a great time.
Are you pretty much bound to fly off this Big Mabel?
You pretty much are.
Yeah. Okay.
My wife and I had actually ridden this thing back several years ago during our honeymoon in Aruba, where we just flew there and spent about a week or so in Aruba. And so when we saw this this time, we were like, oh, you know, let's do it again and see if we can survive again. And we did. But we definitely saw a lot of people while we were sitting there trying to make the decision whether we're going to do it again. We definitely saw quite a few people fly off. So you got to hold on. Otherwise, yeah, you are going to have a fun flying experience.
So debarkation on Carnival Horizon gets mixed reviews. Some say it goes really good. Some say it could be better, aka really bad. What were your impressions?
Our overall impressions were we were on the good side. We obviously, because of our faster to the fun, we had priority embarkation. So we did get to get off a little bit earlier in the overall process. You know, and I think the only snafu we had was one of our check bags was there and one of them hadn't made it out yet, which was really odd, especially since they had released our group at that point. So you assumed everything was good to go. But, you know, it did eventually come and we really didn't have much of a line, maybe from ship to curb, 15, 20 minutes at most, with most of that time probably trying to figure out where that one missing bag was. And then, you know, probably about a 5 to 10 person deep line at customs, but that was about it. And overall, it wasn't really that bad.
How strict were they when it came to passport control? Like, was it one of those where they were scanning everyone's passport or just looking at it and telling you to go ahead and go?
For us, they just looked at it and told us to go. Gotcha. They compared it to obviously they made sure our face matched, you know, the passport. But besides that, no, they weren't actually scanning it.
Okay. Any first time tips to offer anyone sailing Carnival Horizon?
So most of it would be just, you know, check out the ship ahead of time. I mean, there's definitely plenty out there about what the ship has to offer and prioritize what you want to do. There are a lot of activities on this ship that you can definitely partake in. I mean, you know, everything from the IMAX theater to the 4D thrill theater to even the Skyride, which is a bicycle that you can kind of ride around a track that's on the very, very, very top of the ship. And offer some really cool views of the ship. But prioritize that because we, as an example of the Skyride, we really wanted to try that, but we waited till last day, our last sea day. And there was like an hour and a half long wait to get on that thing. And we were like, no, we're not going to do that. You know, but there's so many things that you can do and see, you know, and also eat on the ship, you know, from the specialty restaurants, just all the free options, you know. And so, I guess it's probably good to prioritize what you want to do on the ship. The other cool thing that not many ships have to offer, or at least we haven't found them always, was on deck 5 in particular, you can walk all the way forward on this ship and have a really cool view of, you know, what, you know, going forward, you know, unobstructed too. I mean, as far as there's no plexiglass or anything blocking your view. So that was really cool to kind of get to see, like, you see like the captain's view. As the ship progressed throughout the voyage. I mean, there were some days we walked out there and it was, you know, the wind wasn't that bad. And there were some days that the wind was pretty bad. And so we walked out there and like, oh, okay. And we walked we just kind of walked around and came right back in. But with that said, we were going a little bit quicker on our way back due to a medical emergency that we had to deal with.
Yeah, what happened there? Like, did that? I know you had to go to Jamaica because you had a medical. Did that impact your arrival back to Port Miami?
Surprisingly, it did not. So the first of the last two sea days. So on that Friday, and we were docking on Sunday back in Miami. About noon or so, the captain came over and said, "Hey, we have a medical emergency on the ship. We're going to have to divert to Kingston, Jamaica to offload this passenger." And you could tell they were definitely booking it to get to Kingston as quickly as they could. And we got there kind of mid-evening, I guess you could say, is about 7-8 o'clock. And we just kind of sat in one of the harbors, I guess, and they eventually sent out a medical police ambulance type boat to come pick up the passenger. So it's kind of interesting watching them kind of do this exchange of us, in the middle of this harbor trying to stay in position and this boat trying to keep up with us. But, they offloaded that passenger and then we've had a beeline to Miami, and they said at most we were going to be about half an hour late, into Miami, but they weren't expecting it to affect the debarkation of any passengers. And so, and sure enough, I think we arrived on time.
Okay.
Which was nice, but, they handled it pretty well. And they kept everyone very informed throughout the entire process and kind of letting everyone know that, hey, we're not, this is what's going on. You're going to feel the ship sway a little bit more. I don't know if they try to, reduce the stabilizers or not. I don't know if that's possible on some of these ships, but they were talking about how it's probably going to be a lot more rocky than an average sailing, But overall, I thought that was handled well. And like I said, we arrived in Miami, I think they said we were scheduled to dock at 6, and I think we got in right around 6 o'clock.
Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of your cruise?
Honestly, it sounds kind of cheesy, but I mean, the entire thing was really nice. This is the first time we've ever really been on one of the brand new ships out there. And so usually we're kind of sailing on some of the older ones, I guess you could say. And it was really cool to get to experience a lot of stuff from the atrium with the they call it the Dreamscape pretty much, mm-hmm. with LED screens and everything, to just the entertainment and the great itinerary with the Southern Caribbean. I mean, this was a perfect itinerary.
In closing, final thoughts of Carnival Horizon.
Definitely don't let the size intimidate you. I mean, it is a very large ship. I mean, it's obviously Carnival's biggest ship at the moment, but it doesn't seem like it's as large as it is. There's plenty of space to spread out and relax and enjoy it, and highly recommend to anybody.
We've been talking with Kevin about his 8-night Southern Caribbean cruise aboard Carnival Horizon. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Doug.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at tripinsurance.com. Not only does tripinsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, tripinsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out tripinsurance.com.
Let's see what we've got for you. Cruise Radio is produced weekly in Jacksonville, Florida. For partnership opportunities, email Doug at cruiseradio.net. Hear Cruise Radio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Google Play, or at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.